This evening's scripture is from Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing this? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Thank you, Christopher. We're glad you're here tonight. And we're glad it's warm in here. I asked Brother Bob back there, I said, Bob, can you admit that at least tonight it's cold? He said, well, I'll admit that it's windy. See, that's the problem with having winter and then getting up into the 50s, 60s, and 70s and then going back to winter. So let's just pray for the rest of winter that we have winter. Makes sense to me. More. More is a very important word. More suggests that we haven't given enough yet. And when you read this passage of Scripture and the complementary passage that's in the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, you understand that basically there are two things that this passage is saying. In the very first place, he's talking about things that are easy. You might say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's easy. Especially when you have an enemy like Islamic extremists or terrorists or ISIS or whatever it may be. It's easy to love those who believe what we believe. And it's easy to hate the people that deserve to be hated. Except, I'm not so sure that anybody deserves hate. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, this is where the concept is found. In fact, if you were looking at your footnote, you would find Leviticus 19, verse 18, as being quoted here in Matthew chapter 5. And so when you turn to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, something becomes very apparent. What God said has been changed. Because in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, if I said Luke, I'm sorry, it's Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So I did a word search. In fact, I did a phrase search. Because Jesus said, you have heard that it is said, or it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. If you do a word search of that phrase, it appears one time in the Bible. And it appears only here in Matthew, the 5th chapter. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, there was never a commandment to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's not a part of what God had said. Somebody changed it. And so the Bible does not teach that which is easy. One of these days, God willing, that we get more rain, as I'm so thankful we got rain yesterday, we needed it. I don't know how much we got, we didn't get enough, but we need to pray for more, especially when April comes. We need the April showers. And if you've ever flown in an airplane, I remember when I flew out to New York, to Albany, to see Tyson, and I flew out of Oklahoma City. Do you know how many bodies of water there are in Oklahoma? about as many tribes as Indians there are. There are bodies of water and streams and creeks and rivers and lakes that you just can't imagine. And it's interesting that rivers don't go in a straight line, east and west, north and south, or southeast and northwest, or whatever it may be. They always follow the path of least resistance. Do you know why? Because that's easy. That's the easy thing to do. There are a lot of people who want to just take life easy. Love those who love you. That's easy. It's easy to love somebody who thinks that we men are he-men. My wife, at times when the kids were very, very little, she used to send me letters at Flint Hills Christian Camp. And one year one came, and instead of it being addressed to Larry Scarth, it was addressed to the ultimate male hunk. How could you not love a woman like that? And then a few years later, it was the ultimate male chunk. It's easy to love people who think you're important, who think you're smart, or partly, who would think you're attractive, who think that you have something to give to them. And we turn in our Bibles to John, the 13th chapter, and verse 34. And I know what he's saying in John 13, verse 34. The commandment there is this: a new command I give you, love one another. Now, here we are tonight. We believe the same things. We believe that Jesus Christ victoriously conquered death 3 days after his crucifixion. We believe the open grave is the symbol of Christ's victory. And perhaps things would be better instead of wearing a little cross for a necklace. Maybe an open tomb might be better, because the story doesn't end at the cross. But sin ends at the cross. Death ends at the cross. The Mosaic Law ends at the cross. And life begins after the cross. And that's why Jesus called us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, from Matthew 16 and verse 24. So, a new commandment, love one another. It's easy to do that. But if we believe that the only people we are to love is one another, we are sadly mistaken. We have made an incorrect decision. If you greet only your brothers, "Hello, my people!" You've got your peeps, right? If you're young enough, you've got your peeps. Or if you're not young enough, you've got your crowd that you run around with, whatever that may be. Or, "Hello, my groupie groups." Well, I don't know of anybody here that's got any groupie groups, but we get people around us that see things the way we see things. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 6th chapter, Luke records things a bit differently than the way Matthew did. And so Luke has a few things to say that Matthew did not say, starting verse 32, going through verse 34. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" In other words, is there any spiritual credit? Is there any spiritual deposit that you have made in your spiritual account if you simply love those who love you? That's a good question. Because he says, even sinners love those who love them. So, he is in essence saying, if you only love those who love you, you're no better than any sinner. You haven't grown to the point that you need to grow to. You haven't matured to the point that you need to mature to. And if you do good to those who are good to you, boy, somebody comes along and they say, "Hey, we want to help you change your flat tire." And it's easy to be good to people like that. It's easy to say, thank you so very much. I appreciate that. But what about other people who need our help? And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. After I wrote my bulletin article yesterday morning, Bonnie and I went into the DRC. We've been going in and walking and trying to get some shape other than round. And yes, I have been, Joe, and I know you can't tell. And anyway, as I was getting ready to come out, here was this 6 or 7 year old girl who opened the door for me. And I said, well, thank you, honey, but I was going to open the door for you. And do you know what she said to me? You're welcome. Somebody's taught this girl right. And then as I get to the other door, a young man, probably in his 30s, a burly guy, he opens the door. And I said, well, I was going to open the door for you. And he said, oh, that's okay. And I said, well, thank you. And do you know what he said? You're welcome. It must have been the girl's dad or something. I don't know. But it was so nice to hear that somebody knows how to be polite. Instead of saying, when somebody says thank you, instead of saying no problem, like it didn't cost me anything, you're welcome is so much a better response. Now, I know the older people, if they could say amen, they would, because that's what we were taught. But Jesus is saying, are you any better than sinners? See, it's easy to love those people that love you. It's easy to do good to people who have done good to you, but it's hard. It's hard to do that to people that don't love you. It's hard to do that to people who have done things against you. It's hard to do that when people speak evil of you. And if you lend to those from whom you expect payment. Now let me stop right here and say, people will abuse this and they'll say, Caleb, I need to borrow $10. Oh, and by the way, this says here that you shouldn't expect to get repaid. That would be wrong for me to do that. I would be taking advantage of him. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. It's easy. And that's the point. That's the problem with the culture we live in. Too many things are easy. Following the path of least resistance, following man is easy. Secondly, imitating God is not easy. It's very difficult. We go back to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and to verse 44. Jesus said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Sacrifice yourself on their altar. Love your enemies. Sacrifice yourself. That's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. Those people that don't love you. Those people that say bad things against you. Those people that do bad things against you. I got up this morning, and of course my little old purple truck that I'm driving, it's not much. You know, it is definitely not the best looking vehicle in the lot. I went out this morning to get in it, and somebody had been in it overnight and just threw stuff all over in my truck. All the stuff that I had in the little, my little air gauge, and they left the 5 pennies that was in the cup. So evidently they didn't find what they were looking for. I guess maybe I ought to start locking it. Somebody might accidentally steal it. And they'd bring it back the next day, just with less gas in it. But that's the world we live in. People don't care about you. Most people care about themselves. But Jesus said, you pray for people like that who would break into a Ford truck. Oh, of course, the door's unlocked, so it's not breaking, I guess. But the reality is, just because we have gathered together, there are large groups in the world who have become outspoken. They call themselves atheists, but the reality is they believe in something. They believe in something. They can't believe in nothing, but they're outspoken. They defy us. They hate us. They want Christ taken out of Christmas. They want anything that's religious. They want every cross that's on every headstone that is in every military cemetery. They want every cross taken out of every military cemetery because to them it represents a powerful thing they don't believe in. I have trouble loving people like that, I have to tell you. But yet God calls me to love those, and here's why. In Romans, the 5th chapter, I have to remember where I was when I understood the love of God. Now, for some of you who've grown up in the church, you might not quite understand that the way some of us who grew up outside the church understand it, but you can still understand it correctly. Because beginning at Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were impotent or powerless, still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies," there it is, there was a time when we were God's enemies. But the realization is God loved us in spite of the fact that we were His enemies. "For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" What a wonderful God we have. And so what God intends for us, He expects us to be less like the world in which we live and more like Him and more like where we're going. More heavenly, more godly, more righteous, more sacrificial. In Luke, the 6th chapter, and in verse 27, Jesus said, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Maybe I need to take a step back and get over my anger and get on with what God wants me to do for other people. Maybe one of the reasons why Christianity has declined in the last 40 plus years is because people have taken it easy. People have quit showing the gospel in the way we live. So then, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus sums up the whole issue. This is what He says. "Instead of being like the sinners, instead of being like the tax collectors, instead of being like the pagans," you know, those spiritually ignorant, unstable people. "Instead of being like them," He says this, "be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Because God can love the unlovable. God can serve those who don't deserve to be served. God can do good and has done good for those people who are horrible people. The sun rises and sets on all of us. God sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God blesses all of us together, but here's the reality. There is an exception, an expectation that God wants from us. Now, that's what Matthew 5:48 says. Luke chapter 6 says something that's just a bit different. So turn in your Bibles back to Luke chapter 6. And I can look at these two, and you know what? There's not a lot of difference between what Luke 6 says and what Matthew 5 says. It might be a matter of semantics on how we would take it, but he says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, be merciful as your Father, just as your Father is merciful. That's hard. But that's what God's put on our plate. That's what God has intended for us to do. Turn in your Bibles to the Ephesian letter, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, if you would please. Or turn there on your cell phones or your tablets or whatever you might have. But this is the bottom line of Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. Who are you looking at? Quite oftentimes you'll hear people who will talk about, I've never gotten into watching American Idol. For one reason, the word idol. People idolize people who are famous. I don't think we should. You know, if we had Randy White, you know, he's now advertising for some computer place, used to be a pro football all-star for the Dallas Cowboys. If he was a member here, he should be treated the same as everybody else. Or even Roger Staubach, how about that? Definitely not Jim Kelly. He never won the Super Bowl. But we could love him just like anybody else. But we shouldn't focus on loving people because they're famous. We should love everybody, especially when they're not. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, he talks about being imitators, therefore, of God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul summed it up in two verses. Jesus talked about it in a more expanded way, but the bottom line is still the same. God expects us to love people who don't love us. God expects us to serve people who won't serve us. God expects us to take care of people who won't take care of themselves, because we must be like God. That is hard. The world is easy. And I have said this before, and I still believe it. Many of the problems that we have socially now is because of a watered-down social gospel. Instead of speaking where the Bible speaks and speaking as the Bible speaks, religion has gotten to the point where it just simply says, believe whatever you want to believe. And we can't do that. We even have to love those people that believe that, because I was one of those people. And somebody was able to teach me after they showed me that they were concerned about me and that they cared about me. And there are other people in the world even yet. So when we think about the fact that we live in a life that's easy, we're not supposed to. One of the social sins that you'll find that is current through every one of the minor prophets, social sins. There are actually three of them that go hand in hand. Ease, things were easy. They were taking the easy road. Ease, idleness. They weren't serving people, they were letting people serve them. They had become idle. They'd taken their foot off the gas of the spiritual vehicle they were in, and luxury. In fact, one of the things that I don't remember at offhand which one of the minor prophets it is, but he calls the women of Israel ye fat kine of Bashan. K-I-N-E, a kine of Bashan, which meant a fat cow. That's what he called the women of Israel. They were fat cows because they had become people who were accustomed to easiness. Our culture is that way. Christianity cannot be that way. Jesus calls us to something more than we see around us. And I'm glad he does, because it gives me a better purpose and it gives you a better purpose. So if you think you've arrived, you haven't. There's always more. We can always do more. And that's why Paul would end his letter to the Galatian people in chapter 6 and verse 10 by saying, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Folks, we haven't crossed the finish line yet. There's still more. God expects more of us. Glad you're here tonight. Didn't mean this to be so short. I guess I needed to have another point thrown in. But the reality is the same. We must be imitators of God. And that's a lot more than our culture is willing to do. But if we do more, perhaps someone is watching to see if we really practice what we preach. If there is one here tonight, and I think everybody in here tonight, as far as I know, except some of our younger ones, have been baptized into Christ. But if there is someone tonight that needs to make that decision and that commitment, because you realize there's more on the other side, because there's more we can do tonight with Jesus in our hearts, with the Spirit in us, with our sins washed away, with our names written in heaven, and our citizenship put in Israel, and our membership put in the church by God Himself. We can assist you with that. We want to. But if we can assist you in another way, we stand ready to help. All we need to know is how we can help. Come while we stand and sing.